Hey, what's up, comic book fans? Pete here from Comic Books Transform. And today, this is the first of four videos where Brian and I are covering multiple shows that are all streaming right now. The first show that we are covering this week is the finale of Gen V. Brian, out of all of the shows, out of the four shows that we talked about, or we're going to talk about this week, is this one the one you're the most excited to talk about, least? Is it somewhere in the middle?
I was actually really happy with everything this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I couldn't put one at the end, honestly. I could pick a favorite potentially.
Yes.
Which wouldn't be this one.
Right.
But, I don't know.
For me, the order in which we are recording these shows is it's from least that I enjoyed the least to the enjoyed the most.
Okay. I don't remember the order, but we'll find that out soon.
Yes, we will. Yeah. So, guys, Brian and I are doing these short reviews. We're going to just dive into Gen V, and it's going to be spoiler city. So, Brian, this last episode of Gen V, it's pretty much like a big slaughter slash battle on the campus.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So, Kate was not messing around. That was legit. I was almost thinking that there was going to be some kind of twist and some plot, secret plot or something like that. No. Kate's out there for soup rights and Free in the Woods, which honestly is not, I mean, like, it's not a, it morally sounds good, but I mean, essentially she let all the people out and they just went on a murderous rampage.
Yeah, pretty much, pretty much.
So it's like the lines of who's good and bad and what's right and wrong in the show is really messed up.
Yes, yes. And I want to eventually get to the very conclusion, because the conclusion was sort of this like stark reminder of like, oh yeah, this is very bleak and negative. And, you know, you kind of forget that we're in this boys universe that's very like cynical and dark.
Yeah.
You know, but this one I thought felt a lot like X-Men. It kind of felt like they let out the evil mutants, and the evil mutants basically attacked the humans, and then the good mutants kind of came and fought them.
Yeah, it did really feel kind of up to what the original parody in The Boys was an X-Men parody. So that checks out.
So, you know, let's just kind of go through each character like kind of briefly. I thought the polarity for this episode, this was a really good showcase of like him as a character, and they clearly set up this show to where it's like, okay, these are kind of the good guys of the college students, and these are the bad guys of the college students.
Yes.
And he clearly was like one of the good guys. Were you happy with what happened with him?
And I think the, you know, the kind of little twist there that, you know, they find out that the powers are his power set is what is messing up his dad right now. And this is the scene too, where his dad's like, oh no, get the suit refitted, it's your time, and all this. Like, he doesn't even realize it, and mm-hmm. all that. Or either that, or maybe he does realize it, and he's just like, no, the fame is more important than, you know, your brain.
Yeah.
I'm not even really sure which would be worse.
Yeah. I mean, his dad, it's interesting because he's so devoted to the whole cause, like the whole thing of the Seven and God, Godalkin University. And it's all just like blowing up and falling apart in this episode. And then polarity comes in when he shows up on the campus. It's like this great, like, yeah, moment.
Yeah, like, it was. It was like, you know, Bumblebee showing up at the end of Rise of the Beast, sort of.
Right. And, you know, it's this really great showcase because he's got, you know, so almost like, you know, it's like he's using the Force or something where he's just like able to catch things and throw them at people. And
yeah. And then the helicopter and.
Yeah. So, you know, he's very much on the side of good, but unfortunately, in the world of the boys, the good guys get the shaft. So let's just go through the rest of the team, and then we'll talk about how they get the shaft. So during the battle, there's not really much that we see for our favorite, Cricket, right?
Yeah, because our power set is not as battle capable, I suppose. But it may be soon.
Yes. Well, why do you say that?
Because she found a way to change her size without eating or throwing up.
Yes. I was wondering about that because, you know, if she's like throwing up constantly to shrink, I don't know. I know that like bulimia, ultimately, like a lot of people that have it die. I wasn't sure if it like kind of ruins your esophagus or like, I know it ruins your teeth. I was thinking it would like do damage to her body.
Good. That's an excellent point.
Yeah. So I don't know if like, you know, it wouldn't have been sustainable. Right. And so it's good that she can kind of do it at will. Is the assumption that like her emotions make her get bigger or smaller?
That's kind of what I got out of it. Cause you know, like you said here, this is the Bleak Boys universe we're talking about here. So there's always got to be a negative side to whatever is happening.
Yeah. Do you think that like literally when she feels small about herself, like when her confidence feels small, that's when she literally shrinks?
Yeah, because, you know, Sam just tore the fuck down.
Yeah. And then what would be the opposite? Because she grows. Do you think it's like when she feels like comfortable or like with confident. A purpose? Confident. Okay. So it's literally like her confidence grows. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah, so... once again, she ends up in one spot. They all end up in one spot together. We'll get to that after we go through the characters. Jordan, once again, it's such an interesting thing because when you first meet Jordan, she it's the girl version of Jordan, and they kind of seem like a teacher's pet. They seem like a little meek because the actress that they've picked for the female version of Jordan is small. She's like petite. So you wouldn't picture her to be like this powerhouse, right? Because she's small. And then, you know, they change into the male version of Jordan. And he's bigger, but he's still kind of, you know, thin and smaller. He's not one of these muscular heroes. And, like, whenever there's a battle, they're just, like, right in there, just fighting and taking hits, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, I would argue that Jordan might be the strongest one out of all of them.
Yeah. And you know what's also weird too? This is kind of a side note, but it's like multiple characters on this campus have like Homelander's powers, but each one just has like one Homelander power.
Yes. You know? Well, maybe you could argue Jordan has different powers depending on the gender, but that could be more than one, I guess. But Homelander has the standard Superman power set. And I mean, those are very common powers. I mean, these powers were created as kind of like, you know, a human's fantasies of what they want to do. And, you know, flying is always something that people would love. And everybody wants to be strong. Well, the typical male thing is, you know, you want to be strong. And it makes sense that those kind of power, those types of powers are abundant.
Yeah. And here's one question too, because Homelander is obviously like the apex of the Supes. He's the strongest. Is the idea that like he was made in a lab and it was like they mixed the serum with like the fetus and stuff? Like, because these other kids, right, were they humans and then they were injected at one point, or none of them were like naturally born like the pro? Well, okay, I'm sorry, I'm kind of rambling, but like Polarity, for instance, like he is the son of a Sup, right? So it's just like he just inherited it, right?
I think that's the implication there, which is kind of different for this universe, I think, or this take from on the TV version of it. But yeah, you hit the nail on the head, at least in the TV show version here. Homelander was kind of cooked up in fetus form, injected with V, and then maybe that's contributes to what, you know, why he's so much stronger than pretty much everything else. And then a lot of the people were just injected with it at a young age, and then got powers that way.
Like Starlight.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Do you ever think of, Twins, like the movie Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger, when you think of Homelander?
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and then there's like a little
Danny DeVito.
There's a little Danny DeVito soup. Maybe he shows up in the next season of The Boys. Wouldn't it be awesome if it was Danny DeVito?
That would be pretty great, yes.
And that's how they take down the Seven?
It has to be does Danny DeVito have any kids? Because we had Patrick Schwarzenegger, so we need Danny DeVito's kid to show up instead.
Oh, yes, perfect. I didn't even make that connection. I think Danny DeVito does have a daughter. Because I think I've seen posts from Danny DeVito's daughter on Twitter, but you always got to mention Twitter on our show, too. So okay, we did kind of mention Kate already. She's going around just basically freeing these soups from the woods, and then she's even using her powers to make people kill themselves. There's that one guy who's essentially like a mole on the campus, and
what was his deal? Because like, he comes out like he like they're walking around the escapees are walking around is being like, are you human or are you soup? And then if they say human, they kill them.
Right.
And then this guy, he's like a social media coordinator. He's like, oh shit, my cover's blown. And he plays the sound the high pitched sound to kind of stun the soup. Puts a cube in his mouth and then blows up the person's head.
Yes. Yes.
And it's like very unassuming. So. What was he doing? Like, who was he working for?
Oh, I mean, I totally think he was working for Vought. Like, one thing that we never talked about on this show is I was like, how do they prevent them from just running amok? Or, like, if there was some kind of riot, like, how would the humans stop them? Because they're also superpowered. A lot of them are invulnerable. And yeah. Then in this, they finally show it. It's like they have, like, sonic weapons that they use, and it seems to work on all of them. And then I guess, like, the protocol is if they're really out of control, you literally put a device in their mouth and then they blow up.
Yeah. So, I found that interesting that Vought would have somebody undercover there, you know, like, is that, it seems like they're so already so intertwined with, you know, Dean Chetty has very close ties with Vought and Ash and the CEO, Ashley. I was almost thinking if like, did that person work for Mallory? Was there a connection with Butcher somewhere, somehow?
Oh, that's interesting. That's real interesting. I mean, because spoilers, Butcher does show up at the end too, and he's walking around in the woods. I totally took it that he was like for Vought, and that yeah, he's basically a safety protocol.
Again, this is probably me getting ahead of myself here, and that's you have the most logical answer there, so that probably is what it is.
Yeah, and when he died, that was a very gruesome scene. I mean, this episode is just chock full of like, let's be as disturbing as we can. It's just like one after the other, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when that one guy comes out and he's like, are you a human? Or are you a soup? And then like the fucking date rape guy's like, yeah, of course I'm a fucking soup. Then he goes up to this random woman and she's like, oh, I'm a guidance counselor. He just melts her face off.
Yeah.
So fucked up. So then Sam is the one who's Arnold Schwarzenegger's son's brother, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So he is part of the chaos too, and he's going to kill people. He actually goes to almost kill that director that's from the boys show.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to kill him too, but
yeah, I did too.
Yeah. But it was cool to see like those random, there was quite a few cameos actually from the boys in this episode. And so you had him, and then you had, who's the woman that like rips her own hair out?
The CEO lady, Ashley.
Ashley, right. She replaced Elizabeth Shue. Yeah, she was great. And, you know, she's basically just sort of stuck in the campus, like, what's going on? This kind of crazy thing. And then the director shows up outside, and he's like, I'm going to talk about what we did in the bathroom at this, like, children's cancer. So fucked up.
Which is a reference. I mean, that did happen.
Yeah. And she's like, let him in. It's so funny, but it's so wrong.
Yeah, it is.
Which is like Garth Ennis to a T.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically there's this big battle. And of course we have to talk about Marie, the main character. Were you satisfied with what went down with her this episode?
Yeah, because you know we were just talking about Ashley and all the humans being in that little room there. And they start calling people they were considering for the Seven. They said, like, whoever gets us out of here, you get a spot in the Seven. And she actually calls Marie on the phone because he has like a little like resume headshot combo thing. And she's just like, no, I'm going to go save people. And it kind of backfires on her, honestly, because, you know, where they end up.
Yeah. And so let's kind of tie this into the finale then, because what you just said kind of goes right to the very last scene. The last scene that we see of the boys show is Homelander kills a random man that's at a like live demonstration, and then he smiles and people cheer him on
because it's important to note because he was critical of Homelander.
Right. And so spoilers for this, I don't know if I'm going to put this in the thumbnail or not, but like Homelander shows up at the end of this episode, and it's great fucking moment because he just comes out of the sky, everybody stops
because it's Homelander. Really great because like he is obviously like the unsung, or not the unsung, but like the obvious star, the face of this franchise for TV. Yeah. And he just shows up and it's like, oh shit, Homelander's here. But it was sort of unclear as to what would have happened next to him after the last season of The Boys, you know?
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, we mentioned Jordan before, and Jordan takes a full blast from Homelander.
Yes. What's interesting, before she takes that blast, that she goes up to him, she says, you know, I can explain all this, sir. Or like, she talks to him with respect.
Yeah.
So, you know, in general, there's respect for him, but people fear him because he's, you know, just fucking randomly murdered someone.
Yeah, and he has the power to do that, and no one can stop him, really. So,
yeah.
But, you know, when he shows up, it's like you're kind of questioning, like he was summoned at the behest of Ashley to save them. So he shows up, and then, you know, he says, like, you would attack your own kind? Like, that was kind of, I mean, it's... It makes sense, well, on par with the direction they're going in at that last scene from The Boys. But I was honestly surprised by it. Like, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
To basically the heroes to get turned on, essentially, here.
Right. I don't think anyone was expecting it, especially since, like, they really had to struggle to sort of save the day. And then after all that work, basically the powers that be just shut them down and put the blame on
glorify the people that started it.
right. And that's like, oh yeah, that's right. This show is really fucked up. Yeah. This world's really fucked up. His line, the thing that he says when Marie talks to him is a very Magneto line. He's like, what kind of animal are you?
Yeah.
And he's like, what kind of animal kills its own kind? And like, that's like something Magneto would say.
Yeah.
And you know, this is obviously a very X-Men kind of scene, but it's a weird world because it's basically a world where the evil mutants are ones that the PR people support. And so they, therefore they're the ones in charge.
Yeah.
And the good mutants would be, you know, it's interesting. Cause like, I don't know where the fuck they are. And if she took a blast from Homelander, I'm assuming that like her body was fucked up for a while.
I mean, they're all in that room at the end. So spoiler alert, the last scene we see in the actual show is, you know, the four heroic characters, Marie, Jordan, Andre, and Cricket, Emma. They're just kind of all together in this white room with no doors. Yes. I have no idea where this is. I mean, the only implication I can think of is that they're kind of punishing them and then making them new test subjects for a new version of the woods.
Yeah. And it's important to point out that Marie blew up Kate's arm
too. Yes.
So she'll probably have like a stump or something in the next season.
Prosthetic,
right? So there is going to be a season two of this, right?
Yeah, there will be a season two, and I'm intrigued. Honestly, I'm even more curious to see the next season of The Boys, to see how much more this ties into it.
Yes.
Obviously, we have the plot thread of that soup virus that's in the hands of Victoria Newman now. You know, we have Butcher finding out about the woods, and we have these characters that maybe are potential allies to the boys. Maybe not Butcher, but the boys general in the coming conflicts.
Yes, I feel okay, so to address that, I know I saw yesterday that they said that. The Boys, the next season, takes place like right after this incident at Godalkin University. So it like leads right into it. So I'm sure that it is going to tie in pretty heavily. But then that last stinger with Butcher, I kind of feel like that's sort of like Marvel, where they might put a stinger at the end of a movie and it's like it doesn't directly say something, but it just kind of gets you excited. Because it's like he's in the woods and he says, "You fucking cunts," or something like that. And it's like, that's so ambiguous. It could be that he sees the kid that had the virus. It could be that he just sees what the woods was. He could be talking about the good students on the campus. He could be talking about, you know, Vought manipulations. I feel like it's so ambiguous that even the writers aren't sure how they're going to use it with him.
Yeah, it was a fairly empty filling cameo, because you're right. His line is very vague. You don't know what the intention is or behind any of it. So, I mean, it's still nice to see, I guess, but that wasn't as exciting as seeing Homelander show up and utter that line, because that felt like it had relevance, you know?
Yes, yes. One thing, and this is a spoiler for our fourth review today, which is going to be Invincible, which is also on Amazon Prime, is that for me, what makes the shows stand out this week, this was a very good week for the stuff that we cover, is because there's actual moments in almost all of these shows. I think actually all four of them, where it's like, oh, this is good. This has like emotional impact. This was filmed in such a way. Right, right. All of them. And that Homelander scene, discussing it with you just now, I'm like, yeah, that was really fucking good when he showed up. I really love that. Just how they all stop. That was so good. So that makes me appreciate this episode even more.
Yeah.
Cool.
And well, I want to be extra clear that, we do see Homelander as the villain. We're not glorifying him.
Oh,
admiring the performance.
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, I am sure that on fucking YouTube and Twitter, there's a ton of people like, he's right. The people that are superior should fucking kill inferior people and Israel, you know?
Holy shit. Wow, you just really canceled this. That might have been the most cancelable thing we've ever done.
I'm just saying, there's definitely people.
Yes.
There's this one. But anyway, hopefully if we're not canceled, though, we'll be back to talk about Gen V Season 2 when it's on. But guys, make sure that you're following us, because right now, Brian and I are about to hop over to our next review, where we're going to be talking about The Doom Patrol, the fourth season. All right, so we'll see you guys next time.